Amen, amen, and amen. Let's just pray together for a moment. How many of y'all just feel the sweet presence of Jesus in the house? I mean, just feel the sweet presence of God. I want us to pray because, and happy Father's Day, by the way. You know, I think the Holy Ghost shows up on Father's Day to just let us men know that it's all right for us to be in touch with things that touch and feel and move us. Let's just pray. Lord, we thank you for the Spirit here. Lord, I want to thank you for every person that got up this morning and decided to be in your presence. Because you know what, Lord? They were in your presence and we were in your presence long before we heard the first chord of a worship service. Father, you have been preparing this worship moment from the beginning of time. And Lord, we just pray that we connect with you where you are. And Lord, I pray that today, I pray for fathers, that we would see clearly in the name of Jesus that the most powerful and glorified entity on this earth is Jesus. In anything less than that, God, we shortchange our lives and short-circuit our potential. So God, help us embrace you today. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. It is great to see every one of you here today. I'm glad that you're in the presence of God today. And we're going to deal with this concept. Fathers, I want to give you the first role identity that you have. And some of you wives are going to kind of elbow your husband and say, get on it. Get on it. I am on a little bit of a crusade. I think men need to be men. And I'm glad half of you agree with me. That's about where we are. I noticed somebody the other day, they said, preacher, do people get offended when you call some men Tinkerbells? I said, the only men that get offended when I do that are Tinkerbells. And I said, the problem is men need to become men. And I am going to call you out. And women, let me tell you why I want men to become men. Because when they become genuine men of God, you get a better blessing. You get a better blessing. And when men are not men, all kinds of crazy things happen. I mean, I can take you to the first episode of Human Dilemma. You know, we got Eve standing there talking to a snake. Now, why was she talking to a snake? I got a hunch that Adam wasn't talking. I mean, ladies, y'all gotta talk, amen? And men, it's not that hard to listen to a lady. Because you don't have to say much. Just go like this. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. That's right. But ladies, you ladies intimidate us men because you all use big words and you feel stuff. I mean, sometimes Elizabeth will look at me and she goes, don't you feel that? And I've just learned to be honest. I go, uh-uh. I mean, I don't have an emotional moment to that. I don't feel that. And I'll give you an example of the difference between men and women that's really severe on the feeling deal. How many of y'all remember that movie, Forrest Gump? I remember Elizabeth and I went with a couple friends. We went to go see Forrest Gump. And you remember the scene. It is an emotional scene. Jenny's got, you know, a bad disease. And we went in the summertime to see Forrest Gump. And I was with a couple of my water ski buddies. And we saw that lake. And the smooth water on that lake. And instantly, in the middle of this emotional scene, we looked at each other and go, man, that'd be a great private ski lake right there. You see, it's the way we think we're looking at doing something. But today, man, I'm going to challenge you that every one of us, if you want to step up and be everything God's made you to be, because I want to preach to the concept and to the motion of fatherhood today. Because you know what? You don't have to have a child to be a father. Uh-oh. You don't have to have a child to be a father. I saw a lot of fathers here this week at Vacation Bible School. And I just got to tell you, I'm excited about every one of you. I'm excited about Hillview Heights Church. I'm excited about the way a lot of you stepped up to the plate. I was in this church running around and I saw some big 6'3", about 255 pound, big old headed, big old biceped men working in Bible school. And they'd pick these little kids up. fear and trembling and everything would come to them. But you know what? We got to have fathers involved. And I tell you what, we are a fatherless nation. And we got to have you all reengage. Now, some of you men that are a little bit older, I wish I could tell y'all that you could retire, but I've searched the scripture. I've looked in it deeply. There is no retirement to fatherhood. Amen. Just repositioning. Amen. Now, I'm no expert on fatherhood. In fact, it was this day, 18 years ago, I became a father. I remember walking to the pulpit. Blake was born at 5:20 on a Saturday afternoon. He didn't even like to get up early then. And the next morning, you know, we had this little baby. You all have been through it. You know, I had this little baby. The next morning, I got to get up to preach on Father's Day. And I'd been a father for about 12 hours when I delivered that sermon. I don't really know a lot more about it than I did 18 years ago other than this. I know if you stay with it, God will pour through you His grace to your children. And I'm going to tell you something. I want you to hear this today because fathers, I want you to know, mothers, you all are there too. We talked about that on Mother's Day. But fathers, I want you to get this. And ladies, if you'll just give me a day to get this to the men, because you all know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we men, you know, when it gets up there like praise and worship just did, we're sitting there and all of a sudden we start to get a tear. And we're like, hold on. Hold on. I remember my buddy Gary Williams used to come to church here. Man, he'd whip a buzzsaw. And the Holy Spirit got a hold of Gary. I mean, he'd whip you. He'd whip everybody in here. In fact, I was real confident when I was around Gary anytime we was in conflict. Because I'd just say, Gary, be unconverted for a minute and everything would be all right, okay? But you know what? I remember the Holy Spirit got a hold of Gary. Tears started rolling down his eyes. Man, he's wiping them off and he's trying to get under control. He came up to me and he said, Preacher, what's going on here? I said, something can whip you. And all right, Jack, you and Gary, hey, big buddy. And that's God. He said, Preacher, I hadn't been scared of nothing but one thing, and that's the God that made me. Well, here's what he was telling me. I've come to realize that God is in control. And I am not to be in control, but I am to be an instrument of God's grace in the paths that He's called me. First of all, I want you to know if you want to be a successful man, then follow Jesus Christ. And we men have got a lot of things in this world that has told us what it means to be successful. But apparently they're not working. A lot of us have made a lot of money. We weren't satisfied. We've had about 5 wives. That didn't satisfy us either. So we decided to escape for a while. A lot of us get caught in another world. We do that by many different directions in our culture to get away from the reality. But here's the reality. You will know life when you find Jesus. And here's the good news. Jesus is already looking for you. See, here's the good news. Jesus is already looking for you. We got this way out of whack. You know, I hear people all the time, I'm looking for God. I'm looking for God. I'm on a search from God. I didn't know He was lost. And you know what you'll do? If you'll sit still and you'll just listen, God will find you. Here's where your life begins. It's when God finds you, not when you find God. And did I tell you, He's always looking for you. And He wants to show up. And I find that God shows up in 2 elements. And fathers, I want you to begin to father around you. 2 elements. First of all, fathers who understand a full life are full of grace. Fathers who understand a full life are full of grace. You want to give a gift to your children? Give them grace. How many of you all found this out? No matter what you do, your children are going to mess up. Why? They are full of your DNA. Never forget that. I looked at my son one day and I saw him starting to get real mad. And I was like, where did he get that? I'm going to pop his head. Wonder where he got it. He had the same nose crunch and his brow came down. He looked at me and I said, I've been at it longer than you. Grace, be full of grace. And second, be full of faith. Believe in your children. If there's one thing I could just shout out to you today is this. We don't believe in our children anymore. Believe in them. Believe for them. Stand in the gap for them. Know that they're going to be successful. Know that they're going to do wonderful and graceful things. In fact, I believe this. Remember, we talked about this last Sunday. We're so stinking selfish today, we don't like to see our children do better than we did. I thank God that when I look at my son's grade card, it doesn't look like mine. Because that means he's taking a step forward. Guess what? I would give anything to have the faith of my children at their age. I didn't have, watch this. I went to church every Sunday. I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. I really didn't understand the fullness of grace. I really didn't know that God could work miracles. I had a faith without faith. How many of y'all grew up with a faith without faith? It was like, okay, God's going to come halfway and then we got to come the other half. And I got to reading the scripture and that's not the way it works. God will go all the way. If you will shout out, God will come through. And we need to embrace that. But you know what? Somewhere along the way, I had a mother that poured faith into me and I had a father of faith. People ask me all the time, they say, Steve Ayers, how did you become like you became? I say, it's not in a vacuum. Because I want you to get this word, okay? We got grace, we got faith, and you got to have the third thing to really understand fatherhood, mercy. Mercy. You got those three things? They're in you, compliments of Jesus. The grace of God, the faith to accomplish all things, and mercy. Who is that that I'm talking about today? God. And fathers, here's where we've messed everybody up. We've given such a poor image of fathering that there's not a lot of people that want to connect to the Father who art in heaven. I wonder if the Father who art in heaven spends more than 2 minutes a day with His children. Ooh. Ooh. Average middle class father today. 2 minutes with their children. Cats in the cradle and silver spoon. Little boy grew up. When we going to play, Dad? Right now I got an appointment. Right now I'm making money. And if you want to wear those new Puma tennis shoes, I got to go to work. Maybe our kids need Converse and a lot more conversation. Maybe they need that heart. Now, I'm going to give you a word today. You ready? Pour. There's a job of fathering. Pour. Pour out. In Jesus in Matthew, He's teaching. And in Matthew, it's a very Jewish gospel, so we have to know a little of our Judaism. And in Matthew, I want you to go with me to verse 17, because you got to understand verse 17. And Jesus gets interrupted during a teaching. How many of y'all have ever just been interrupted? How many of you fathers have ever been interrupted? How many of you have not been interrupted? If you're going to be a father, you're going to be interrupted. That's part of the job. Just expect it, embrace it, love it. How many of y'all found some of the coolest moments with your children have been when they've interrupted you? They've interrupted who you were, and they've interrupted what you were doing to really begin to understand who they are. I think some of those interruptions are divine. Amen. Some of them are just a pain, but some of them are divine. That's real. Amen. Jesus has an interruption in the midst of His teaching. And here's what happens. He says, neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst. The wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined. Now, I got to looking at that verse and I said, wait a minute. That also applies to the concept of fatherhood. Jesus has given us two things in our lives constantly. Not just new wine, but Jesus allows the new wine to develop in us a new wine skin. And so fathers, I want to give you some great news today. It's not too late to do a good job with your children. At any time. You say, Pastor, I blew it when they were little. Well, don't blow it when they're adults. You say, Pastor, I blew it. Guess what? Well, then become a new wine skin. You say, well, how in the world am I going to be full of grace? Well, you got to have some practices. I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? My priorities were messed up in a moment of my life, but they're not now. And I want to pour into you with the time we got left, the grace of God, the faith of God, and the mercy of God. You've got to practice forgiveness. Well, Jesus has got two people that need to be healed. How many of y'all believe God is a God that heals things? I do. The healing God. It's all in the New Testament. We get all wigged out about this. And I just want to tell you all something. Please, I want you to keep a great, healthy perspective on healing. God is a healer. And don't doubt that. But also realize that God doesn't heal all the time. I had a person come to me and they said, "We don't understand what happened. We had great faith and we prayed and we prayed in the Spirit and we did all this stuff and the person died." There's a reason they died. They had terminal cancer. And it kills humans. Think about it. If every time you prayed people could be healed, we would never die. And what does the Bible say? There's a time to die. But what does it say more than about death? There's a time to live. And Jesus came so that we might what? Live. What is the new wine? The new life found in grace, in faith, and in mercy. And Jesus is teaching this stuff, and then all of a sudden there's an interruption. Go with me to verse 18. While he was saying this, talking about new wine and new wineskins and new opportunities and new possibilities and new hope and new life. Y'all got the groove here? Jesus is saying, wait. And even before that, they were all asking him about fasting. Isn't it interesting that when religious people get around Jesus, they ask about practices and Jesus speaks about life? I want you to really see that in your Jesus. I don't think Jesus is half as concerned over a lot of the stuff the church is concerned Amen. About. Amen. Like, I don't think Jesus really cares what translation of the Bible you read out of. I think that's your issue. I don't think Jesus cares if you got makeup on or not. That's your issue. I don't think Jesus cares about a lot of things we care about. Because Jesus cares about you. And if the essence of who Christ is, it's, I want to invade your human space so you might really understand humanity. Because I'm the human expert, says Jesus. I made you. I created you. I want to develop you. In a real sense, Jesus says, I want to father you. So what does it mean to father? It means to inspire. Here's a great definition, I think. To inspire your children to their God-given greatness. Dr. Ward, right now, you're inspiring four human beings, two males, two females. Wonderful, expressive children. The thing I love about the Wards, you hear them before you see them. And so you're inspiring each one of them to their God-given potential. You do that, you've completed the function of fathering. And so a father was very concerned. Fathers, I want you to pour out. You got to pour out what? You got to pour out grace. You got to pour out faith. And you got to pour out mercy. You got to believe to do it. Dr. Whittle, I think one of the things that we lack is we don't understand what it means to believe. Believing means to stay with it till it happens. Fathers, if I could just wave a wand or maybe a handful of spirit and say, you know what? One of the things we need is a good dose of stay with it. You stay with those children. You say, well, Pastor, you don't understand. They're on drugs. You believe they will be delivered. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. My daughter, she's pregnant. You stay with it and believe for her. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. You believe. And I think things will get better. What do you think? Okay, but you got to stay with it. Here's what we do in our world today. As soon as it hurts, we quit. Amen. If you're going to be a parent, it's going to hurt. You'll pour things into your children and they'll turn away. It's just part of life. Guess what? But when you come to Jesus, He answers. And look how these people believed. While he was saying this, a ruler came and knelt before him and said, this is very crucial, you note this in Scripture. A ruler came and did what? Knelt. What did that ruler know? He was Lord. He knelt because he knew, I have a position of authority. Many of you men have a position of authority, leadership, responsibility. I have a position where others are under me. But guess what? I have some clout, but when I stand in front of Jesus, He is greater than I could ever possibly be. You want to start living life? Kneel. Kneel to God's way. Say, God, you know what? I'm going to believe that what You have in store for me is greater than what I could create on my own. He knelt before Him because He's got a problem. How many of you dads have ever had a problem where you can't fix it? Oh. You can't fix it. How many of you have ever had this with your kids? I can't tell you what to do. Amen. This is a tough thing with adult children, isn't it? How many of y'all still want to spank them? It doesn't work. By the way, I'll give you something. Spanking really doesn't help that much. So this is where we got things out of whack. Discipline does. But we don't want to discipline people anymore. You know why? Because discipline is going to take more than your 2 minutes a day with your children. Discipline takes a long time. I mean, you got to talk to them. And if they're hard-headed like I was as a child, then you have to use a little bit of encouragement. If you have an attention deficit, sometimes you have to have a moment where the deficit is fulfilled. And now I'm fully at attention so I can hear the truth that needs to reshape my life. But the point is to get to the what? Truth that reshapes your life. So that child will be set free. Well, this ruler, man, he's anxious. He can't fix it! How many of y'all been there in life? I mean, I just can't fix it. His daughter's dying. My daughter's just died. Now watch this. What the ruler saw is not what Jesus is going to see. What the ruler saw is not what Jesus is going to see. See, how many of y'all are like this? Man, it's dead. It's over. It's impossible. But now this ruler has enough what? Faith about him. And enough grace moving in him, and enough belief in just a morsel of mercy that at least he's going to go see Jesus. Oh, fathers, let me tell you, go see Jesus when your children have got problems. Go talk to him. And guess what? You'll start talking to Jesus, especially if you get a daughter. My prayer life has increased greatly with Clayson, especially when they become teenagers. You know why? Because you see other guys walk by. And I'm tell you what now, when you start looking at a man's daughter, you become a father real quick. Yeah, I saw a boy kind of slant his eyes at Clayson. I was walking with him, kind of slanted like that. And, you know, that kid didn't realize what I could do to him. He had no idea what could happen to him. He's just there, you know, 14, just, you know. Do you know what I realized? I got to give that to who? Jesus. Yes. How many of y'all, like, as parents, you worry about who in the world your kids are going to marry? You know, especially if you've been working on a good line and they marry some bum and mess your family line up. I mean, this goes on for generations. You know? You ought to be concerned about it. Yeah. Do you know what I find? Your children will usually marry what you've poured into their life. Amen. If you poured faith, belief, mercy, destiny, they'll seek that out. So pour in. Well, this father, he's desperate, a ruler, a man of clout. But come put your hand on her and she will live. Oh, what is that called? Faith! He said, Jesus, I don't understand how you can do it. I don't know the process, but I know this. My little girl is dead. My little daughter is gone. And I have heard enough about you that I know if you would just come touch her, it would all be different. Oh, church, if we could ever just harness a mustard seed, or for Kentucky, a tobacco seed of that kind of faith, this place would never be the same. Jesus, I know if I just got my best friend in here and you touched him, things would never be the same. Jesus, I know if I got my other friend on drugs here, you would just touch him and things would never be the same. What if we had that kind of belief? Well, we do. We need to activate it. Fathers, believe in those children. Believe in Jesus for those children. Believe with Jesus for those what? Children. Who's this daddy believing in for his daughter? Just come touch her, Lord. Now, can you believe this guy's interrupting Jesus in the midst of a theological discourse? Here Jesus is being a seminary professor, and some ruler is unearthing Jesus as he's giving out these lifelong teachings for a practical ministry moment. Awful, isn't it, Mark? I'm glad Jesus is not like a lot of our seminary professors. And looked at the Father and says, right now I'm in the moment of doctoral purity. I don't have time to bring humans back to life. I'm in the text. If that's your religion, may the mercy of God flow over you. Jesus is so different. Jesus is, watch this, it's interesting to me. I just love Jesus. How many of y'all love Jesus? Worthy is Lamb. I love Jesus. I love to watch Jesus in the Scripture because Jesus doesn't go through all this religious shenanigans. He just loves people with such grace, such mercy, such belief that they get better. Amen. He goes on, Jesus goes, well, Jesus got up. Oh man, how many of y'all glad to know Jesus will get up?
Amen.
You go, He gets up. How many of you know things are fixing to get better when Jesus gets up? Well, He got up. Look, He got up and went with Him. And so did His disciples. Y'all got the picture. We got Jesus hanging out, long hair. He wouldn't be permitted in most of our churches. Got long hair. And then you got these disciples. Now, you're talking about a rogue bunch. You got some fishermen. You got some scholars. You got some philosophers. You got everybody but a rabbi. Because Jesus had to get some things done. He only had 3 years. You get religious people, they'll take millenniums. Because they got to argue. Jesus got to go. Fathers, here's what I'm going to tell you. You got to get up. I want to challenge every male in this congregation, lovingly, gently. Look, I'm being gentle today. Spirit of God. It's time for us men to stand up. And I'm not talking to be cocky and I'm not talking to be arrogant, but I'm talking about when you see a kid in this church and you know that they're without a father, you be that father. And quit waiting for somebody else to be that father. You know how to father. This is a real issue. It's always amazed me in the Old Testament, God never hollered, "Oh mothers of God, where are you?" He said, "Oh fathers of Israel, where are you?" They were outside the back nine on the city gate playing golf, not paying attention to some other things they need to pay attention to. How many of you ladies have noticed this? We men will play if given options. I mean, if Elizabeth looks at me and says, "Would you like to work on your personal development or would you like to go play golf?" B. "Would you like to really read something that will change your life or would you like to go fishing?" B. "Would you like to have a conversation about our marriage relationship or just go have sex?" B. I just want you to know how men function. That's the way we function. The least involvement we can have. True? But this father's involved because his daughter's in crisis. And in crisis, we need to get very involved with Jesus. Well, here they go. Y'all see them? You got the disciples. You got Jesus. And you got a man, a father, a ruler, who has knelt down knowing Jesus if he just touched his daughter. Now, Jesus is on his way. And then just as Jesus gets up and all the disciples get up and they start going away, just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I'll be healed." Now I'm going to tell y'all, fathers, if we can get into this kind of faith, there's two faiths in there in the same direction. One, a father says, "My daughter's dead. Jesus, I need your help." Another, a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. If you go read a little history on her, she had tried everything she could to get the bleeding to stop. And the bleeding was even more disgusting because it exiled her in society. You know, we got that kind of stuff here. You get AIDS, what do? We still do that in our culture. We say, there's some people that aren't worthy, right? Here's what I love about Hillview, and y'all keep doing it. There's a lot of people here at Hillview that weren't supposed to be in church that realize God loves them too. And you know what else? And I want to continue to encourage, listen, don't exile people. Touch them. Touch them with God's grace. Believe God's mercy for them. Engage in faith with them. And Nathan, she's awakened by Jesus' words. If I only touch Him, I'll be healed. Can you imagine if we in this church had that kind of faith? Fathers, here's what I'm really asking you to do today in the name of Jesus. Play beyond your potential. Play beyond your potential. You say, well, I can't do that. Yeah, you can. I want you to play with Jesus' potential. Play beyond your potential. Reverend Reynolds, minister beyond your potential. Be a husband beyond your potential. One day you'll be a daddy. Be a daddy beyond your potential. My father was a father beyond his potential. One thing I didn't like about my father is he wouldn't argue with me a whole lot. He would send me to Jesus. Parents, you want the clue? Send your children to Jesus. Quit trying to fix them. They won't fix. Pray for them. Send them to Jesus. When they come and say, well, I'm going to do this, say, fine, check it out with Jesus. If He says yes, go ahead. Quit trying to make them like you. That's gross. Yeah. Make them like God wants them to be. Make sense? And they're going to be different than you in some ways. And that's wonderful because God's bringing that human being very uniquely into the world to fulfill their potential. Woman touches the cloak. Just, I'm going to touch it. Now watch. She didn't have conceptual faith. See, a lot of us have conceptual faith. Well, I think Jesus can do it. She had actual faith. How many of y'all find a lot of churches have conceptual faith, but they don't have actual faith? Let me show you what belief is. Belief is, I need some money. Belief is, you go get a job. Sitting there praying and not going and getting a job, that's stupidity. And I want you to know the difference. And God shouldn't honor you. That's a myth. People selling you bad goods there. Bad goods. You say, what about all these preachers? They say, well, if you just plant a seed into my ministry, they're hustling you. It's gone on from the beginning of time. Don't be hustled. Look what they did. She believed and did what, Freddie? Look at the scripture. She got up. Jesus got up. The ruler got up. They are walking. They're in the crowd. They're in the midst of the action. Belief calls for action. How many of you fathers need to get up today and get on with it? You need to get up on off that lazy boy. Get up off it. Throw the remote aside. And say, son, I'm coming after you. Daughter, I'm coming after you. Grandbaby, I'm coming after you. Child, I'm coming. Gotta get up. Right? You can watch TV after they go to bed. Amen. While they awake, do what? Engage. Get up. This woman's up. Y'all see this in the Scripture? She didn't stand there and go like this. I believe if Jesus would touch, if I could just touch His cloak, then He needs to walk over here so I can touch it. There's American faith. I'm serious. That's Americans in their faith. Well, Jesus needs to do this and He needs to... No, she got up. She got in the crowd. She went past her own issues to discover God's issue. And she touches Him. Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter. Your faith has healed you. Now notice what Jesus said. Take what? Heart. Who? Daughter. See, Jesus can act like a father. Take heart, daughter. You okay? And it was that simple. And sometimes healing is that simple. Fathers, I don't think you know the potential you carry if you would pour out with positive things to your children. Daughter, take heart. You've done a good job. Daughter, take heart. You're making things happen. Daughter, take heart. Sometimes healing is simply this. You know God's in the room. You know God's in the room. You say, well, wait. What do you mean? Let me tell you what. I know a story where Jesus, he was in a big storm and he was on a boat and everything was going crazy. And Jesus didn't even wake up. His disciples freaked out and he wanted to teach them one thing. Asleep or awake, you're okay as long as you're with me. Amen. It's that simple. Take heart, daughter. Now look what he says. Your faith has healed you. Your belief has healed you. There is potential in your belief. Watch this. I'm going to show you how powerful this is. You will become what you believe you are.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. You'll act like it. Your faith has healed you. And a woman was healed from that moment. See, when you get with Jesus, she was just healed from that moment. Isn't that great? How many of y'all have been healed before?
Amen.
How many of y'all have just awakened before and realized you're not as bad as everybody told you you were?
Amen.
By the way, you're not as good as everybody told you you were either. Somewhere in the middle is the truth. It'll set you free. Amen?
Amen.
Fathers, how important are you? You're crucial. How many of y'all ever been to a Little League game, Pee Wee game? Ever that watches coaches of Little League, you're never going to get this out of a kid. I know what every one of y'all coach them to do. Hit the ball and run immediately to what? First. Have y'all ever seen a 7-8-year-old ever hit the ball and run immediately to first? They can't do it. I'm going to show you how important it is. They'll hit the ball, and on the way, what are they looking for? Daddy. Did I hit it right? Watch when they strike out. Who's the first person they look for? Daddy, to see if mom's holding him. They look for daddy. Tyler Jones, you did it. I know you're a big-time collegiate baseball player now, but I remember when you did a little pudding head hitting the ball. Who'd you look for? You looked at David Jones. Your dad, and you can't miss him. I mean, he's right there. And if he's smiling, what'd you do inside? Oh, absolutely. If he's shouting, how'd you feel? Not that he would. Yeah. See, fathers, God has put this ability in us. Jesus spoke as a father to this very young, desperate woman and said, "Take heart, daughter. Your faith has made you healed. Go live." Well, and then Jesus comes on and he just keeps moving. How many of y'all glad that God keeps moving? How many of y'all glad this didn't happen in the story? Well, Jairus, ruler's daughter, I'm sorry, I'm all out of healing power. You girl's just going to have to die. Jesus got a thing for daughters, or at least he did on this day. He keeps on walking in. Here's what I want you to know, fathers. If you'll keep believing, Jesus will keep walking. There's grace. You say, "Pastor Steve, I've messed up." That's okay. Let's get better. "Pastor Steve, can I believe?" Start believing today. Believe today. God is doing something great in your life. Not that He's going to do something great, that He is doing something great. I'm so tired of hearing about all the things God's going to do.
Amen.
Can I let you all in a secret I've discovered the last 6 months? People that are always talking about what God's going to do, it's because they ain't got nothing going on right now. See, I'm trying to get y'all to learn how to discern. I found the devil lives in two places. He lives in the past, and he lives in a projected future. I tell you the place the devil cannot stand, the present day. This is the day. Well, check this scripture text. This was the day the Lord has made for a ruler and two daughters to get healed. And they're just doing it this day. And he gets to the house. And I just want to show you this. When you live in God's grace, your perspective changes. And when you live in God's mercy, things don't always have to appear like they are. See, to us, the daughter was dead. And I bet she was. Dead. Stopped breathing. And we were already celebrating death. Check this story. I said, one of my favorite stories in the Bible. We are celebrating death while life is walking in. How many of y'all are like that? How many of y'all are so caught up in death, you don't know who's entering the room? So it's a human phenomenon. We get to looking at all of our dilemmas, and guess who walks in? Can you see, how many of y'all have ever been around a Jewish mourning ceremony? They can mourn. Woo! They're wailing, you know, everything's going crazy. You got to get a picture of this because Scripture's alive. And look what it says. When Jesus entered the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd, death is noisy. Why is death noisy? We want to divert the reality of the obvious. Now, how do we do that in the South? We mourn by eating. Since most of us are Baptists in Church of Christ, we can't drink, so we eat. And we have mourning. I mean, we eat. I mean, you have a funeral. What are you going to do? Come on, y'all. Man, what do we do? It's like it's going to cure everything. Here's a country ham. Sorry you lost your mom. Here's some pies. I mean, every time something's dead, we go to eating. True? I mean, you go to the funeral home, there's enough food there to feed 5 hungry countries. Because this is what's going on here. It's noisy. The flute players have already arrived. The scripture makes it very intentional. It is noisy. Death is in the air. This daughter, the mourning, the tearing, the human emotion. Jesus walks in. I love his words. When Jesus entered the ruler's house, saw the flute players in the noisy crowd, he said, "Go away." Don't you love that? Go away. Hold on, fathers. How many of y'all have ever used that phrase? Anybody else get that honest this morning? There have been times my children get real noisy. Go into the other room. How many of y'all ever had that moment? Go away. And sometimes those are godly. Go away. Here's what I love. Jesus told the mourners to go away. Some of them were professional celebrators of death. Now, hold on. This seems far-fetched to us in our culture, but it's not. Freddie, I'm going to blow you away. How many times have you ever been negative before? You ever had a negative moment?
Yeah.
Good, because if you were going to tell me a fib, I was going to get Shirley to tell me which one it was. But okay. How many of y'all have ever had a negative moment in life? Come on, get with me here. How many of y'all have started downhill? How many of y'all have about 30 people that will join to help you? Isn't it amazing? As soon as you want to complain, you can draw a crowd. People build churches on this. If you'll be real negative and pound all the other churches in the community and get everybody's emotions juiced up and talk about all the evils of the world, man, they'll pour in to hear that. Because they go, "My life stinks and your life stinks and let's just sit here and stink together." People just get off on that. I don't know why they get off on that. Get noisy about death. Go away. I just love that. Don't you? I want to park there for a minute. Go away. Jesus says, "Go away." I love it. And he's not rude or anything. Just go away. I wonder how he did it. Go away. Get. Go away. Shh. Out of here. Go away. You know why he was getting them out of here? Because, fathers, I want to challenge you to something. I'm going to ask you to do something today. I think you'll know grace better. Believe stronger, and mercy will flow through you like new wine if you tell some things to go away in your life. And the biggest thing that we probably need to say go away to is the noisy crowd. Everybody telling us what life is. Now see, that noisy crowd was trying to tell the world that that girl was dead. True? Here's what Jesus says. How many of y'all like what Jesus says? But they laughed at him. Hey, the crowd will laugh at Jesus. I just want y'all to know right now, people think I'm crazy. That's okay. People look at me like, "Man, I don't believe the life you live." Now, here's where I get in trouble. I don't care what they believe. This is why I'm a scary person. I really don't care what you say. Because guess what? It don't mean anything. I know it drives some of y'all crazy when you go, "Well, Pastor Ayers, I don't like you." I don't like you either. So? Who cares? That's a bunch of bunk. We made it up in a church. Look, go away. That's a bunch of emotional manipulation. You know what I love about Jesus? He never manipulates the emotions. You don't have to when you're full of truth. You only have to do that when you don't know what you're talking about. Look here. But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, I love it. I mean, I need to put a crowd outside so you can hear Jesus. Well, after they were put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand. Is this not beautiful? I mean, Just look, here's Jesus. I just want y'all to see. He's so beautiful. He goes like this. He just goes like this. Wow.
You see, because of Daddy knows how to take a daughter by her hand. And she'll get up. And a daddy full of grace and mercy and belief needs to take a daughter by the hand and say, get up. And needs to take a son by the arm and say, go forward. Get up. And here's all I can tell you. I've been studying this New Testament for a while. There's not one place in the New Testament or the First Testament that's the Old Testament. I like to call it the First Testament because it's not out of date. What God says is. Boy, we struggle with that. We say, God, I want to take issue with this. I know some of you all who are diverse in biology and physiology are going, well, Pastor Harris, do you think she was just resuscitated? I really don't care. She got up. She is dead. Apparently, she's pretty dead because she already had the flute players, the crowd, and the noise was already, it had already arrived in her moment. But Jesus took her by the hand and said, get up. And she got up. And watch this. News of this spread through all that region. So, fathers, I hope you've heard something today you can take to the house. Grace. God's grace. Isn't it neat? God was on a mission and healed two daughters in one mission.
Praise God. Praise God.
Isn't it neat? Two of them.
Hallelujah.
One she came on the own, and the other one came by the Father's belief. Faith. Grace. And Jesus delivered what? Mercy. All right. What are we going to do with this? Dads, happy Father's Day. Thanks for being good dads here. All right? Move you up a level. Men, y'all hear that challenge? You see these boys and girls running around this church. Take concern with them, will you? Please. Thanks for doing a great job in Vacation Bible School. 31 young children in this congregation received Jesus. Oh, come on, let me hear you. That's what it's about. 31! They had some great teachers. Nathan Bolton, and I'm going to stay on Nathan, soon to be Dr. Bolton someday shortly. Teach 5th and 6th graders? Why?
That's what we're called to do.
What we're called to do? Did somebody teach you? Remember, I knew you in 5th grade. Yeah. Now you're teaching somebody else. Nathan, you probably could have found an excuse not to teach, couldn't you? You know what I love about you, Nathan? You learned not to listen to the noisy crowd a long time ago. And you didn't let people tell you how to live. I hope you all follow Nathan's example. Deacon George, you didn't listen to the crowd either, did you? They said, George, your lungs are wore out. You're not going to make it. Well, unless you're a hologram, I've seen you here every Sunday since then. Huh? Eleanor had faith. You had a weird healing. People believed you were going to get healed. And I mean, you know, Merle, George was in the hospital, and Merle said they went to Best Buy and hooked him up to every electrical appliance they could find over there. I mean, he was hooked up. Guess what? Not one time did I hear anybody come out of the room and say, George's not going to make it. They all said, he don't look like George, but he's going to make it. True, Eleanor? You think that's got to play in healing? Not done yet? Fathers, be graceful. Mr. Hunt, you're doing a good job. Keep it up. You're a good daddy. A lot of good daddies in this room. Chuck! Wayne, you're a good father. You're a good father. God called you to father many. He calls some of us to be concentrated fathers. He calls others of us to father many. Mark Hale's a father. I see him with a lot of kids pouring what? The new wine of grace and faith and mercy.
I don't think we ever get out of fatherhood. And I think we ought to pray understanding there's a Father in heaven, and when He looks at you, He sees His grace. And when He looks at you, He feels His mercy. And when He looks at you, He believes in you. Wow. So I'd say let's believe in Him. Amen. Well, dads, I want to give you an invitation. Men, now listen to me. I understand. I am so sorry. Listen, I apologize. I apologize. I understand if you grew up in a church that it's hard to be a man and go to church because, Lord have mercy, in the last 100 years we made it the most sissified place a man could go. That's the truth. We'll call a spade a spade. And ladies, that's not your fault. It's our fault for not standing up and saying we got to do a few manly things. Men do not respond to tea parties. The only reason we go is because we love you. We don't like little, you know, flowery things. But we go because we love you. Just like you probably don't like a tractor pull. Perry, you know, you probably took Paulette to a tractor pull for her anniversary. I don't doubt that. Yeah, I mean, but let's get real about it. Man, I want to get this real about it. Following Jesus Christ is not less than, it's greater than. And you may be a man that wandered in here with your children today because they said, Dad, would you come to church on Father's Day? And you said, yeah. Okay, listen. Here's the deal. We've all sinned. Ain't a one of us in this room that hadn't blown it for God. I don't care how holy you are. I don't care how good you think you are. Every one of us had blown one of the Ten Commandments. Would you agree with me on that? And we walk around, and I really do. I apologize. I apologize for those of you that have not been to church very often, and the only thing you've seen from the church is a bunch of arrogant people telling you how good they are. Well, let me give you the scripture today. They're not a part of the disciples. They're part of the noisy crowd. And I think one day they're going to hear some very frightening words because Jesus is going to look at them and say, go away. The story's about the cross. Dead. Two people were dying today. One who couldn't stop bleeding and another one that was called dead. Well, let me help you. Some of y'all are like that woman. You just can't quit doing all these things. It won't stop. How am I going to stop? You know they're not good, but it won't what? Won't you come touch His cloak today? I bet it'll stop. Won't you say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. Bugsy, will it work?
It'll work. Praise God.
And you can even come to church and then go away for a while and come back and it'll still work, won't it, Bugsy? Bugsy said the first time he came in here, the Holy Spirit got a hold of him. He didn't know what had a hold of him. He left and didn't come back for 6 months. He said the next time he came back here, am I telling this right, Bugsy? You just went ahead and got saved because you was tired of the frustration. God, watch this. What did I tell you? God's looking for you. And He really wants to come into your life. You say, well, what's my part of it? Be open. Today, why don't you say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my what? Sin. Come into my life. Well, in just a little while, you'd be a daddy baptizing your child. What do you think about that, Pops? Huh? Why don't you say it today to your dad? Why don't you be the greatest father you can be and stand up and say, you know what, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. Ladies, let me have just a man's day. And I'm going to follow Him like a man. When my business associates ask me, do you go to church? I'm not going to go, yes, I'm a member of a church. I'm going to go, let me tell you what I am. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And my sins have been forgiven by the cross of Jesus Christ. And I've been resurrected into a new life. And I'm going to do my best to do my business dealings in such a way that it will reflect the man that I've given my life to. I'm a man of God. And they say, well, we've heard you say, I say some things I'm not supposed to. And that's the grace of God. And I'm working on getting better every day, and I'm a man of God. And I'm not perfect, but I'm forgiven. And I'm getting better every day. Now, we start being that straight with the world start listening. And I'm a man. You want to give a great witness of a man of God? Let your yes be your yes and your no be your no. There's a forgotten concept. In fact, our witness could do this. If we spoke less and lived more, more people would come to Christ. I think we preach too much. We all start living. Because guess what? This room's full of a lot of little children. In vacation Bible school, did you see the smiles on their face when they got baptized? And I looked at a lot of those little children and I thought, I'm going to be an older man when they become young adults. I wonder what God did today. I have no idea. I have no idea who we baptize here. I just know one day I'm going to look up and I'll be in a hospital bed somewhere and here come this doctor and she'll walk in and say, Reverend Mayers, I don't know if you remember me or not, but I was 8 years old when I was baptized at Hillview. And I'm going to say, did it take? She'll say, yes, it did. And here's the reports of the test. And we're going to believe together. See, I don't know what we're doing. I don't know what we're doing here. Other than this, come to Jesus. Is that real? I've had a fun time being a father. And I can't tell you in this world today how important you are. All I can tell you is this. They say I'm in midlife now. I don't know. I feel like I'm at the beginning all the time. I can't tell you when you hit that season of life, if you get to live long enough, where your dad becomes real smart. I thank God for this every day. There's not a day that goes by in my existence that I don't hear some wisdom from my father come through my head. And I thank God that he wasn't at the country club and he wasn't making sure that everybody knew he was a great professional. I thank God that my father didn't have a bunch of religious bumper stickers on his car and didn't throw a Bible on the dashboard and didn't raise his hands and sing praise choruses when he was mowing the yard. And my father is a real man who taught me how to live Jesus and not just speaking. Now that's where it makes it work. And wherever I go in the state of Kentucky, I'll be preaching and some old judge will come up to me. And he'll look at me and he'll go, Reverend, you wouldn't happen to be Reginald Ayers' son, would you? And I said, well, Judge, I am. He said, now you all got different approaches, but same heart. Where did I get that heart? And let me tell you something else. It's not DNA. Because I'm an adopted child. That thumps the biology, doesn't it? It's spiritual DNA. And that can be poured in anywhere. So fathers, pray for your children. Love your wife so your sons and daughters will know how to be treated, know how to lead. And guess what? Encourage them. And by the way, I say this all the time, but we don't do it yet. When we start doing it, I'll lay off. Don't let them quit. Don't let them quit. Don't let them quit. Clayson and Blake know they better watch who they marry because they come over to my house and say, well, I just think I need to leave them. I don't like them. I don't care. Go back. You ain't staying here. Don't quit. Because you know what quitting is? Not believing. Lord, if I had to leave Elizabeth every time I didn't like her, gosh, if she had to leave me every time I made her mad, she'd leave every day. Live the life in belief and God will bless us. Amen. Daddies, you know how to come to Christ.
If you've never been baptized, I want to encourage you today to step up today on a Father's Day. And you can look at your sons, your daughters, your family and say, on a Father's Day Sunday worship, I stepped up and I said, I'm going to be baptized and I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to let Him forgive me and I'm going to live the life. And stay there. Amen? Are you going to mess up, dads? Yeah. Is God going to mess up? No. So stay with Him. Let's stand and you come. It's open for everybody. Come and pray. Come and let Jesus love you. Real faith. No fanfare. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, You draw the people that need to be drawn. And Lord, I pray for fathers today, especially for those that feel left out and wiped out right now, God. I pray that You just touch them. You've been touching everybody today in Scripture, God. So touch them with hope and confidence. I pray for confidence in the men of our church. Lord, I pray for the children of all these families, that their daddies will be seen in them. Touch them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.